Welcome to The Unraveler, a weekly commentary devoted to explaining the Torah, Haftarah, and other aspects of Jewish history, ideas, and thought. This podcast is made by the FJMC, the Federation of Jewish Men's Clubs. The material of these Unraveler podcasts provide a historical and somewhat different approach to help you, the listener, better understand Jewish life and thought. This week's Haftarah commentary is read by Michael Freilich of the Seaboard region of the FJMC, whose Judaic knowledge has been shared with men throughout North America. We hope you enjoy it and find it intellectually challenging. The opinions expressed in The Unraveler are those of the author and do not necessarily represent the opinions or policy of the FJMC.
For the 51st weekly Torah portion in the annual Jewish cycle of Torah reading, we turn to Nitzavim. Nitzavim is the first important Hebrew word in the Parsha, and it means we standing or one standing. It is from Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 9 through chapter 30, verses 20. In some versions of the Tanakh, it's from Deuteronomy 29, verse 10 onwards. In this Parsha, Moses tells the Israelites that all people stood before God to enter into the covenant, a violation of which would bring on curses. But if they return to God and heed God's commandments, God will take them back in love and bring them together again from the ends of the earth. Moses taught his instruction was not beyond reach, and Moses put before the children of Israel life and death, blessing and curse. And he exhorted them to choose life by loving God and heeding the commandments. One of the principles of Judaism is set forth in this Parsha, where Moses reports that God has said to him for the people, I have set before you life and goodness and death and evil, and all that I command you this day to love God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments. Life and death I have set before you, the blessing and the curse, and you shall choose life. This is critical for the fundamental Jewish belief of free will. In the Mishneh Torah, and again in the Moreh Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, Rambam, Maimonides, bases his discussion of free will on Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Quote, Behold, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Rambam taught God grants free will to all people. One can choose to turn to good or to evil. Rambam further taught, people should not entertain the foolish thesis that at the time of their creation, God decrees whether they shall be righteous or wicked. This is sometimes referred to as predestination or determinism. But rather, every person is fit to be righteous or wicked. Jeremiah implied this in his Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 38, when Jeremiah wrote, quote, From the mouth of the Most High, neither evil nor good shall come forth, close quote. Accordingly, sinners themselves cause their own loss, that it is proper for people to mourn for their sins and for the evil consequences they have brought upon their own souls. Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, continued, Since free choice is in our hands and in our own decision, prompts us to commit wrongs. It is proper for us to repent and abandon our wickedness, for the choice is in our hands. This is implied by Lamentations, Kohelet, chapter 3, verse 40, quote, Let us search and examine our ways and return to God, close quote. Rambam taught that this is a principle as a pillar upon which the Torah rests, and the commandments, as in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, provides, quote, Behold, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil, end quote. Rambam argues that God decrees that as an individual is righteous or wicked, it's inconsistent with God's command through the prophets to do this or not to do this. For accordingly to this mistaken conception from the beginning of humanity's creation, their nature would draw them to a particular quality and they could not depart from it. Rambam saw such a view as inconsistent with the entire Torah, with the justice of retribution for the wicked or the reward for the righteous, and with the idea that the world's judge acts justly. Rambam further taught that nothing happens in this world without God's permission and desire. Rambam's wrote that everything happens in accord with God's will, and nevertheless, we are responsible for our deeds. How is this apparent contradiction resolved? Rambam wrote that just as God desired that fire rises upward and water descends downward, so too God desired that people have free choice and be responsible for their deeds without being pulled or forced. But people, on their own initiative, with the knowledge that God grants them, do anything that people are able to do. So people are judged and measured according to their deeds. If they do good, they are treated with beneficence. If they do bad, they are treated harshly. This is clearly implied by the prophets. Rambam acknowledged that one might ask, if God knows everything that will occur before it comes to pass, does God not know whether a person will be righteous or wicked? If God not knows that a person will be righteous, it would appear impossible for a person not to be righteous. However, should one say, despite God's knowledge, that the person would be righteous, it still is possible for the person to be wicked, and God's knowledge would be incomplete. Rambam argued that just as it is beyond human potential to comprehend God's essential nature, this is what Isaiah intended in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, in which Isaiah wrote, quote, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways," close quote. Thus, we do not have the potential to conceive how God knows all creations and their deeds. But Rambam further wrote, "It is without doubt that people's actions are in their own hands, and God does not decree them. Consequently, the prophets taught that people are judged according to their deeds." The Haftarah for this parsha is Isaiah chapter 61, verses 10 through chapter 63, verse 9. It is the seventh installment of the seven Haftarot of consolation between Tisha B'Av and leading up to Rosh Hashanah. In this Haftarah, the prophet rejoices in God, who clothes him with salvation and covers him with victory, as a bridegroom dons a priestly vestment, as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth vegetation, so God will cause victory and glory to sprout before the nation. For Zion's sake, Isaiah would not hold his peace until Jerusalem's triumph would turn brightly for the nations to see, and Sion would be called by a new name given by God. Sion would be a crown of beauty in God's hand. No more would Sion be called forsaken or desolate, but she would be called delight and espoused, for God would rejoice over her as a bridegroom over his bride. The prophets set lookouts on Jerusalem's walls until God would make Jerusalem a praise on the earth. God had sworn no more to give Israel's corn to her enemies, nor her wine to strangers, but to those who harvested shall eat, and those who gathered Bible. Shall drink in the couches of the guard's sanctuary. Go to sleep. Yeshayahu said, "Clear the way, for God proclaimed to Zion that Zion's salvation is coming, and they shall call the Israelites the holy people, and Jerusalem shall be called sought out, not forsaken." Isaiah asks, "Who came in crimson garments from Edom?" Remember, Edom means red. "Mighty to save, and why God's apparel was red like one who trod in the wine vat." God said that God had trodden the winepress in anger alone and trampled in fury for the day of vengeance that was in God's heart, and God's year of redemption had come. God looked and found none to help to uphold God's will, so God trod down the peoples in anger and poured out their blood. This prophet spoke of God's mercies and praises of God's great goodness towards Israel, which God bestowed with compassion. For God wrote, "Surely they are my people," and so God was their Savior. In all their affliction, God was afflicted, and God's angel saved them. In love and pity, God redeemed them, and God bore them and carried them all the days of old. This Haftarah concludes the series of consolations after Tisha B'Av and up to the days of awe. Its themes of salvation, redemption, mercies, and compassion. Rabbi Charles Simon, who is the executive director of the FJMC, promulgated a short essay in 2010, which was republished on 2014, The Unraveler. He wrote, "The grand finale has finally arrived, and each of the ideas presented in the previous 6 weeks is referred to in one form or another in this Haftarah. Like a symphony, one can hear the echoes of previous movements. Our people will be victorious, God's promises will be kept, Jerusalem will no longer be forsaken, and God continues to remain faithful to his people. This grand finale is structured so that it resonates or reintroduces the major themes of the Torah portion several times. Chapters 31 through 34 from Parshat Vayera is concerned with two items, the succession of leadership and the creation of the Torah as a book. It reads like a symphony because it is composed of two literary stanzas. For example, read chapter 31, verse 1 through 8, and then chapter 32, verses 48 through 52, and then chapter 34, verses 1 through 12. Each of these three passages is concerned with the question of succession of leadership. If you read chapters 31, verse 9, through 32, verse 27, you'll note a similar literary style, only this one focuses on the establishment of the Torah as a book. How appropriate, because soon we begin Rosh Hashanah. For the past 7 weeks, we have been led on a journey designed to help us seriously look at ourselves in preparation for a time of cleansing as well as one of rejoicing. Rabbi Simon wrote, "It just might be that the Haftorah parallels this morning's Torah reading because Nitzavim is a grander finale. We stand together, all of us, and prepare to enter into the covenant once again, just as a couple at times needs to reaffirm their commitment to one another, so does God and the people of Israel. And so, after a long struggle in the Haftorot, where God and our ancestors wrestle with their relationship and finally work it out, we too are asked to learn to do the same thing, to reaffirm our commitments, just as our ancestors did in the Torah and Haftorah. The time is now. It's almost Rosh Hashanah. Please discuss these issues with your children, your family, your spouses, and your friends." Rabbi Simon invites us to discuss these matters with our family, our friends, and our friends. Let us wish you all a Lashana Tova Tikatev Techatem. Remember, some of this is my own work. I am not a rabbi or a scholar, an academician. I am just a simple Jew from the hills of Baltimore. Rakan Yehudi Pashut Mehare Baltimore. Shalom all you all.
We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. The FJMC mission is to involve Jewish men in Jewish life. You can find more information about the organization at the FJMC's website at www.fjmc.org. Music for this podcast is Climb by Shane Ivers and is available at www.silvermansound.com.